1 Kings chapter number 15 tonight. 1 Kings 15. Struggled with what to call the title of this thing because we're going to hit so many different kings here, one after another. I wound up just naming it Reigns of More Evildoers. Because we're going to go flip back to, remember we just talked about Asa. Asa was a good king and he was in the south. And during his reign, we're going to see that there are a number of kings that are leaders of the northern boys. In fact, I think it's like seven kings during the time of Asa's reign. There were actually seven kings that reigned in the south. I mean, it reigned in the north, excuse me. But we flip back tonight to look at what's going on in the northern kingdom of Israel. And that's what happens here. It flips back and forth. And sometimes it overlaps. And sometimes, you know, we finished up Asa. But all that we're reading about here in the north was happening up north during Asa's reign. Okay, so we're reading about some of the same time period that we've dealt with, but just in a different area in the northern kingdom. So we're going to see how Solomon's idolatry and disobedience against God that brought the division between the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Israel took place. Well, it continues to affect the land of Israel. And while we saw the southern kingdom of Judah enjoy revival under Asa's reign, we do not see the same thing going on, nor even remotely similar to that, for the northern kingdom. Trouble continued to plague the northern ten tribes because they would not get right with God. They were drawn to the matter of idolatry, idols. They turned their back on God for some golden calf idols, and so the blessings of the Lord was not with them. In fact, the result was instability, destruction, heartache, agony, and death. And we're going to see all this. So when folks turn their back on the Lord, it does not go well for them. 1 Kings 15 in verse number 25, it says here, look at 1 Kings 15 and verse number 25, where we will begin tonight. And it says, "And Nadab, the son of Jeroboam, began to reign over Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned over Israel 2 years." So this is after the Jeroboam. Nadab is Jeroboam's son. He ruled after him, but it was only for a two-year reign. And then 1 Kings 15 in verse number 26 says, "And he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin." And this is going to be a recurring thing. As we go through each of these kings, we're going to see the same thing, only it gets worse. You know, the next one is worse than the one before him, and the next one is worse than the one before him, and all the way to Ahab, who was worse than all the ones that were before him. We won't get as far as Ahab tonight. In fact, we'll be spending a little more time with Ahab, but these are some of the shorter reigns here that we're going to see. And we see that he did evil in the sight of the Lord by following his father's sinful lifestyle. And we see he had a sinful influence upon the nation of Israel. See, what these kings were doing, they were doing in the sight of the people, and they were encouraging the people in this idolatry. And again, we're reminded of the influence that we have upon other people, especially our children and grandchildren. You know, we need to be to make sure that we're the right kind of influence. And let me call to your remembrance what we saw in 1 Kings 14 in verses 10 through 14. Because of Jeroboam's sin, God promised judgment upon Jeroboam's household. Okay, we've already dealt with that. And Ahijah the prophet told Jeroboam what God was going to do to Jeroboam and to his family. And can you imagine the effect that this had upon Jeroboam and when the message was delivered to him? I mean, he was notified that his kingdom would be overthrown, and he came face to face with the realization that he was the author of his own ruin. He brought it about himself. And his family would be disgracefully erased out of existence. God promised to just wipe him you know, he just like somebody wiping a dish. He was going to be done with him. And he's going to be erased out of existence, swept away like dung, or devoured like a buzzard meat, you know, out there on the road to carry on. If you were told that, don't you think that you would try to change and try to get God's mind to change by getting your life right with God? I mean, think about it. It does work. We know that because we read the book of Jonah. Remember the Ninevites? God pronounced judgment against them. 40 days, judgment was going to come. But then they repented. And so God said, okay, for that the evil that I was going to do to you, I'm going to hold back on it. And here, he could have got right with God and sought the Lord's face. Who knows how it would have went. But Jeroboam didn't, and his son Nadab didn't. His son Nadab just continued to be wicked, just like his dad was. And so the prophecy of judgment was fulfilled here in Nadab's day. Look at chapter 15 there, verse number 27 through 31. It says, "And Baasha, the son of Ahijah of the house of Issachar, conspired against him." They called him that, conspired against Nadab. "And Baasha smote him at Gibeathon, which belongeth to the Philistines, for Nadab and all Israel laid siege to Gibeathon. Even in the third year of Asa, king of Judah, did Baasha slay him and reigned in his stead. And it came to pass, when he reigned, that he smote all the house of Jeroboam. He left not to Jeroboam any that breathed, until he had destroyed him, according unto the saying of the Lord, which he spake by his servant Ahijah the Shilonite. Because of the sins of Jeroboam, which he sinned, and which he made Israel to sin, by his provocation wherewith he provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger. Now the rest of the acts of Nadab and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel?" And so we see there, you know, God's word is always sure. God predicted judgment, and judgment came. God's predicted judgments never fail. Matthew 5:18 tells us, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." And Luke 21, verse 33 says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." So with the assassination of Nadab, Baasha took control of the kingdom for the next 24 years in Israel. But we see that he too was a wicked king. Look at verse number 32 there of chapter 15. Verse 32 says, "And there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. And the third year of Asa, king of Judah, began Baasha, the son of Ahijah, to reign over all Israel in Tirzah, 24 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of Jeroboam, and in his sin, wherewith he made Israel to sin." And so we see here nothing changed. Jeroboam and Nadab walked in wickedness and caused Israel to walk in the same. And even here we see that the one that God allowed to uproot Jeroboam's whole family, to carry out that judgment, Baasha didn't do any better. And so the beat of doing wickedness and teaching the nation of Israel to do wickedness just kept on beating. It just kept going on. And that brings us to chapter 16 tonight here of 1 Kings. Look at chapter number 16. We see God's message to Baasha. We meet Jehu here in verse number 1. "Then the word of the Lord came to Jehu, the son of Hanani, against Baasha, saying, Forasmuch as I exalted thee out of the dust, and made thee prince over my people Israel, and thou hast walked in the way of Jeroboam, and hast made my people Israel to sin, to provoke me to anger with their sins. Behold, I will take away the posterity of Baasha and the posterity of his house, and will make thy house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Him that dieth of Baasha in the city shall the dogs eat, and him that dieth of his in the fields shall the fowls of the air eat. Now the rest of the acts of Baasha and what he did and his might, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? So Baasha slept with his fathers and was buried in Tirzah, and Elah, his son, reigned in his stead. So we see here God's message to Baasha. Baasha had been exalted by the Lord there in verses 1 and 2. God took Baasha when he was no more than just a dirt ball and exalted him to be king over Israel. And he had poor background. He had humble beginnings. And God said, I made you a prince. He said, "You mean you were nothing when I got a hold of you. And I made you a prince over my people." And Baasha, we see there in verse 2, he chose to walk in the ways of those before him. God's message in so many words here is, you live like Jeroboam. You've influenced the nation to sin and provoked God to anger. You're no different than Jeroboam. And guess what? You're going to wind up just like Jeroboam. And you know what happened to his family is going to happen to yours. And so God's judgment, God says, what I did to Jeroboam, I'm going to do to you. And Baasha could have repented here, but he didn't. None of these guys repent. They don't turn. They just continue in their wickedness, and God wipes them out. And then we see the reign and murder of Baasha's son Elah in verse 8 through 10. Let's finish reading verse number 7. And also by the hand of the prophet Jehu, the son of Hanani, came the word of the Lord against Baasha and against his house, even for all the evil that he did in the sight of the Lord, in provoking him to anger with the work of his hands, and being like the house of Jeroboam, and because he killed him. And it says there in verse 8, in the 20th and 6th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Elah, the son of Baasha, to reign over Israel in Tirzah 2 years. Not a very long reign at all. You'll notice most of these are short reigns. Baasha, he had a 24-year reign. That's a good long reign, but not as long as Asa. Asa was 41 years. All of these were reigning during the time that Asa was reigning over the southern boys. Now we see here in verse number 9, also it says, and his servant Zimri, captain of half his chariots, conspired against him, as he was in Tirzah, drinking himself drunk in the house of Arza, steward of his house in Tirzah. And Zimri went in and smote him and killed him in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his stead. So Baasha's son Elah reigned after his death, but just only 2 years. And while he's drinking himself drunk, Elah was assassinated by the captain of his chariots, a fellow by the name of Zimri. And we're going to see Zimri didn't last long at all. You talk about short reigns. Here in a minute we're going to see he only had the reign of a week, just a week's time. But boy, what a busy week it was for him. Here we see that Elah's life was one of the many lives that had been ruined and shortened by alcohol. Can you imagine he probably had a better chance if he'd been sober, don't you think? Thomas Edison said to put alcohol in human bodies is like putting sand in the bearings of an engine. I believe that. I've seen alcohol destroy people's lives. I've seen it in my own family. I've had an uncle who was an alcoholic, and he pretty much drank himself to death. But someone said that alcohol makes a man colorful in that it gives him a red nose, a white liver, a yellow streak, and a blue outlook. That's not my idea of good color at all. But statistics show that for every 10,000 people killed by alcohol, only one is killed by a mad dog. And yet, what do? They put the mad dog down, and they keep on selling the booze. The alcohol continues to be sold because it's big business in the economy, and it's a large source of revenue for the governments. They make the tax money on one end, and then when you get caught drunk driving or whatever, they got all the fines and the penalties on that side. The government just gets a bunch of money out of it. And so the beat goes on with the matter of alcohol. But it's not a disease. I know they want to call it a disease, but that's just a cop-out for not taking responsibility for one's action. It's a sin. God calls it a sin of drunkenness. And so Zimri betrayed his king, and Elah's judgment was sudden and unexpected. And sometimes judgment comes swiftly, Sometimes it comes slowly. But the door of Israel's throne room is like a revolving door here. And during Asa's reign in the south, the north kingdom went, as I said, it went through 70 kings, Jeroboam, Nadab, Baasha, Elah, Zimri, Omri, and Ahab. Well, that means we got Omri coming up here in a minute, okay? Because Zimri is fixing to be history. We see the Lord's message regarding Baasha's house is fulfilled in verses number 11 through 14 of chapter 16 here. Zimri fulfilled the prophecy of Jehu that we just read in verses 3 through 4. In fact, Zimri not only killed all the house of Baasha, but I want you to get this, but he killed all of his relatives and all of his friends too. Man, it wasn't a good time to be friends with the king. look at verse number 11. Look at verse number 11 here. And it came to pass when he began to reign, talking about Zimri here, as soon as he sat on his throne, that he slew all the house of Baasha, he left him not one that pisseth against the wall, neither of his kinfolks nor of his friends. Thus did Zimri destroy all the house of Baasha according to the word of the Lord which he spake against Baasha by Jehu the prophet. For all the sins of Baasha and the sins of Elah, his son, by which they sinned and by which they made Israel to sin and provoking the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities. Now the rest of the acts of Elah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the King of Israel? In the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, did Zimri reign 7 days in Tirzah. And the people were encamped against Gibeon, Gibeathon, which belongeth to the Philistines. And the people that were encamped heard say that Zimri hath conspired and hath also slain the king. Wherefore all Israel made Omri the captain of the host, the king of over Israel that day in the camp. So here we see, wasn't a good time to be have close connections with Baasha's family. Over and over again, the Bible stresses here that judgment is for sinful living, and God's word is true. And the judgment for sinful living may not always be the same for one as it is for another. But the reality is that God will judge sin, and we can choose to sin, but the consequences of our sin are up to the Lord. So we see the short reign of Zimri there in Tirzah. He reigned for only 7 days, which, by the way, is the shortest reign of the kings of Israel. It was a week, but it was a week bathed in blood. The word of his conspiracy and treachery, though, reached the infantry that was in the battle with the Philistines, and their choice for a new king was not Zimri. Zimri just exalted himself, so much for the reign. He didn't really reign over much, over that little town where all the people were out fighting. Why wasn't he out fighting, you know? He was doing treacherously there with the king and overcoming his own king. But they wanted their commander to be Omri. Omri was popular with the men, and so the people made Omri king on that very day. They didn't have any primaries, no pauses to think about the decision. They didn't take any time to pray, didn't take any time to seek God's face about, you know, who should we choose as leader. Nope, they just based their decisions on what was popular. Omri was popular, they chose Omri. And it's not always the best choice. You know, God values the character of a person, not their popularity. And also, we need to understand making rash decisions without praying about them can cause some great problems. Some of the worst decisions one can make are the ones that are rushed into. When you rush into something without praying about it, you know, you need to take pause. You're fixing to get in a heap of trouble, most likely. So we see the siege of Tirzah and Zimri by Omri down in verse number 17. It says, and Omri went up from Gibeathon, and all Israel with him, and they besieged Tirzah. And that's where Zimri is, that's where he got Baasha, and that's where he is going to be gotten himself. And we see there in verse 18, it says, "And it came to pass when Zimri saw that the city was taken, that he went into the palace of the king's house and burnt the king's house over him with fire and died." What an ending, huh? Think about this. You know, Omri and his men did not accept Zimri as their king. The support of his army gave Omri the confidence to attack the capital city of Tirzah, where Zimri was at. And that's just about 10 miles, if you look at it on the map, 10 miles northeast of Samaria is where Tirzah was at. And we see the reaction of Zimri here. Zimri saw that his plans to reign were going down the drain real fast. And with the city under siege, he put into practice that philosophy that says, "Well, if I can't have it, you can't have it either." You know? And he said, "I'm just going to burn the palace." Now, we're not told whether this was a matter of suicide. He set the palace on fire and he died in the process. Was it suicide, or did he not leave himself time to get out? It could be in either way, because we're not told. But that, you know, that had to be a bad way to go. You know, if all the ways to go, I would not want to burn. Amen. I mean, that would, to me, that would be the worst way to go out. Sadly, there are people who allow some circumstances or circumstances of life to push them into reacting like Zimri did by taking matters into their own hands and end up losing their lives in the process. And let me just say, if it was suicide, suicide was not the answer. Suicide's never the answer. And if you ever get an inkling of wanting to do yourself in, get some help. And don't give in to the urge to take your own life. Now, a big part of Zimri's problem is that he wasn't right with God. He died because of his sinfulness. Notice verse 19. You know, it talks about there in verse 18 that he burned the house and he died. And he says, verse 19, "For his sins, which he sinned in doing evil in the sight of the Lord, in walking in the way of Jeroboam, and his sin, which he did to make Israel to sin." I mean, just seven... I think the Lord's looking at his whole life. He only reigned 7 days, but in those 7 days, he showed no indication of turning, no indication that he was going to take the country in any different direction. Verse 20 says there, "Now the rest of the acts of Zimri and his treason that he wrought, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? Then were the people of Israel divided into two parts." We're going to see this here in a minute. That's bad, isn't it? Yeah. It's bad enough it's divided between the northern boys and the southern boys. Now the northern boys are split for a little bit of time here between those who are for Tibni and those that are for Omri. And so you got a further division. Before we get to that, I want you to understand Zimri's problem was he wasn't right with God, and he died because of his sinfulness. The Bible says in Psalm 34:21, "Evil shall slay the wicked, but they that hate the righteous shall be desolate." Also says in Proverbs 11:3, that "the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them." So Zimri walked in the way of Jeroboam, the way of idolatry and sensuality. You know, our lives can influence other people both now and even after we're gone, whether we want to admit it or not. And this leads us to an important question. You know, if people walked in our ways, would that be good for their lives or not? You know, we need to work on leaving the right kind of example to our family and friends and those in our circle of influence. And sadly for him, we see that Zimri reaped what he sowed. And Galatians 6:7, still in the Bible, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And so we saw Zimri sowed treachery, he reaped treachery. He sowed violence and hatred, he reaped violence and hatred. He sowed sudden death and destruction, and he reaped it. And what things are we sowing in our lives? Hopefully they're the right kind of things, and not that which is evil. But we see this split in Israel there in verse number 21. It's divided into two parts. Half the people followed Tibni, the son of Ginath, and to make him king, and half followed Omri. Here we see this further divide. The nation of Israel is now divided into two parts. And the sinfulness and jealousy and rivalry of the nation was tearing the northern kingdom of Israel apart. And that's what sin does. It creates weakness, instability, disunity, and division. And we see that wherever sin dominates, there are problems to all involved. And then we see the supremacy of Omri there in verse 22. But the people that followed Omri prevailed. Okay, so against the people that followed Tibni, the son of Ginath. So Tibni died and Omri reigned. We're not told how Tibni died, but I'm sure it wasn't by natural causes. He's probably killed by those that followed Omri. Just imagine, but Omri's forces overcame the followers of Tibni. And so Tibni died and Omri became the reigning king. He had the throne, but as we're going to see, he wasted his opportunity too. He wasted his power, his authority, his opportunity to turn the nation around, turn it back to the Lord. In fact, he will become the worst king of Israel up to his point. Okay? But nothing is going to compare to the son he raises, because this is the daddy of Ahab. Ahab we know, don't we? You know, we see Ahab, we're going to see a lot about Ahab. Ahab becomes a king after him, and we're going to shortly see how that Ahab grew up to be like his father, only worse. Amen. But that's our Bible study for this evening. And boy, just don't take long to go through wicked kings, does it? Well, the one after another, we just knock those down. And all the time, Asa is in the southern part, enjoying a revival in the land. All right, let's pull back out our prayer list, and we'll pray for the needs, and we'll be dismissed.